Brother Rylan Coles will exhort us this morning. His theme is Being a Living Sacrifice. It's my pleasure to call him forward now.
Thank you, Brother Matt, and good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back with you all here this morning. Lee and I have felt very welcomed in our return. So this week, I want to take our theme from the reading we read today in Romans chapter 12. And the topic for my exhortation is an interesting consideration, and it has two ideas that go hand in hand. Now, these are things that are something we should be continually evaluating, and something that we'll discuss in a moment. But first, I want to suggest some questions that you can ask yourself that'll help lead our minds to this topic. And so here they are. What is my purpose on this earth? What am I placed here to do? And how should I be spending my finite and valuable time? Now, Lee and I consider this often because at the stage we're at in our lives, things can sometimes feel a little overwhelming. We're constantly trying to find that perfect balance of our time and figuring out whether that perfect balance is even possible. And that's, I'm sure, something that we can all relate to. How do you find time to take care of yourself, your family, and the ecclesia while still working hard at your job to be financially stable? Or on top of those necessities, still taking time to relax or to pursue hobbies and interests, but also keeping up with the never-ending list of chores and responsibilities? And this seems to be a common problem for a lot of people, and not many people come to an answer of whether they can manage it all. And so we begin to wonder, which of these things are the most important? Which one comes first and deserves the most of our time? So another question I want for each of you to consider for a moment is, how do you spread out your time? If you had to visualize it on a pie chart over the course of a week or a month, would you be happy with how that time breaks down? Is your time serving God a healthy slice of that pie, or is it a small sliver? Now, my next question for you to consider is it even possible to achieve this balance, even just for a moment? Now, I know for myself, allocating my time feels less like a controlled balancing act and more like a juggling act at the circus. And it's how many things can I have tossed in the air before I start to drop things? And it's not very many, if you can take that guess. But I believe it's not possible to find that perfect balance, because there are infinite ways that we can spend our time. It comes down to how we prioritize it. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. And that is making our service to God a priority and using our God-given gifts of grace to do that. Now, depending on the type of person that you are and the responsibilities on your plate, the allocation of your time can vary greatly. Each person has different strengths and abilities, different backgrounds. Each person has different things that they value more than others in their life. And so we can't directly compare ourselves to each other. And this can be hard because sometimes we fall into a habit of that comparison, using other members of the ecclesia as examples or role models. And maybe we look at their spiritual contributions to either justify or motivate our own. But the one thing we all have in common is the desire to serve our God in heaven, the creator and sustainer of all things, our almighty Father who gave us life and helped guide us to where we are today. And that's why we find ourselves here this morning, not just for our own personal gain, but we came here with some sort of desire to serve. And so the idea I want to focus on and take away from this morning is in these first two verses of Romans 12, which I'll read to you now. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now we know we are God's prized creation on this earth, who he appoints a special attention to. We are that soft clay that's being shaped by our potter, our divine creator. And we know that we have been created for a purpose. We have been created to be vessels of his glory, a living sacrifice, as it says in verse 1 of Romans 12. Now, if you're wondering what that looks like and how do we do that in our own lives, thankfully, much of it's laid out neatly in the rest of chapter 12. So if we continue reading and we look at verses 3 to 8, we see Paul talking about the many members of the ecclesia that make up the one body in Christ, even though we are all individual members which make up this body. Now, like a body, different parts have different functions, each part with unique traits and abilities, and we see these are the gifts of grace, something that each and every one of us has, a strength and a predisposition that God has granted us. Now, as this quality or this gift becomes evident in our walks, it's our responsibility to foster it, along with the other qualities that we have, and use it to serve our Heavenly Father. And when we look back at the faithful men and women of old, we see the qualities listed here all the way back in the beginning. And so the first example that we'll look at is in the life of Joshua. Now, Joshua was the man chosen to continue leading God's people after Moses. So if you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9, we see that Joshua was to use his strong characteristics to lead the people, and he did this by leading by example. So I'll start in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river of the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So God picked Joshua for his strong leadership abilities, similar to the gift listed in Romans 12 and verse 8, the one who leads must lead with zeal, and something we see Joshua was more than capable of doing. He led the people back into the land and fearlessly fought the nations to reclaim what was promised to them. He wasn't the type of leader to just tell them where to go and what to do, but he taught the people by his lifestyle. He was a leader by example, and he did this by living an unwavering faith and trusting in God that he will provide for them. Now, God instructs him to be strong and of great courage in Joshua 1, and we see Joshua did this throughout his life, demonstrating multiple times his courage and his faith in our God. God used each of these events to reaffirm his power and his support for the Israelites, so they would see that it was not done by their own hands, but by the support of their Almighty God. And throughout Joshua's life, we see that his purpose in the congregation of the children was to teach them a specific lesson. And that lesson was to fully and wholeheartedly put their trust in God and serve him in all that they do, and to recognize that it was God who provided the victories while they traveled, and not by their own strength. And we see his ability to do this immediately in the first account of Joshua. In Exodus 17, he leads the battle against the Amalekites after crossing the Red Sea. a victory only won if Moses kept his hands risen towards heaven. In Numbers 13, he's one of the 12 spies who enters the promised land and brings back a good report. And also in Numbers 13, verse 16, Moses changes his name from Hoshea to Joshua. The meaning of that name is Yahweh is salvation. Now, Joshua had to have demonstrated very strong characteristics of faith and of courage for Moses to recognize and change his name to something so powerful. And we see as Joshua reaches the end of his life, he spends his final moments on record reminding the Israelites of their responsibility to serve the Lord. And we see this message in Joshua chapter 24. And so we'll pick that up in verse 13 of Joshua 24. Starting in verse 13. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now Joshua gave them a very wise message that we should all be following still in our lives today. Our next example is a great example of a dedicated servant, and that is the Apostle Paul. Now his approach to servitude is a bit different from Joshua. We see that one of Paul's gifts of grace was the ability to teach and exhort unto one another, unto the ecclesias of that time, spending much time writing letters and educating so he could build up those ecclesias. And he was still an instrumental leader in those ecclesias, but he did it through thoughtful instruction and demonstrated these lessons and qualities in his own life. Now, unlike Joshua, he did not wage war with the surrounding nations or fight head-on with the Romans or other Jews. Instead, he waged war against sin, breaking down the carnal mind into each of its weaknesses and providing instruction on how to combat the flesh. And thankfully, we have much of his teachings on record for us, his many letters making up a sizable portion of the New Testament, and they are filled with spiritual wisdom and instruction. He helped shape those early ecclesias, and he discussed topics that are still prevalent in ecclesial life today. And we also see the example he provides as a selfless servant of God, putting God as his focus and prioritizing spiritual service even above his own life. He put his life at risk multiple times to deliver the truth and to share the word of God. Acts chapter 14, Paul was stoned for preaching and left for dead. But we see that he rose up and returned to the city and left for another city the following day to continue his preaching journey. Much of the later years of his life was spent trying to help the ecclesias from a prison cell. He didn't allow an obstacle like that to prevent him from serving God and to share the truth with others. Now, Paul lived by the words that he wrote here in Romans chapter 12. He presented his body as a living sacrifice, and he continually used all the abilities at his disposal to be a servant of God. And from his conversion onwards, he committed his life and energy to the building of the ecclesias and helping others along that walk to the kingdom. And then finally, the ultimate example of a spiritual servant is our Lord Jesus. Now, we could spend the rest of our day discussing these spiritual qualities that he has and the strengths that he puts into action day after day. But we'll keep it short and sweet. And we know from even a young age, Jesus was gifted in his understanding of scripture. We see in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 to the end, and I'll read us just verse 40. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now we see throughout the entire life of Jesus, he demonstrates each of the gifts of grace listed in Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 to 8, which we can flip back there and we can quickly review. Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 to 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now during many of the miracles that he performs, he practices a number of these gifts, and his service to God was never ending. We see in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now he was able to weave service into all aspects of his life, whether it was teaching and exhorting to a large congregation, or healing the sick and lame while traveling from place to place, always showing mercy and compassion without partiality. His time was always intentional. Christ never took vacations or chose to stay at remote destinations to take a break from preaching. If he needed time to separate himself from the crowds, he would spend his time praying or meditating on the Word of God. He would withdraw to his group of disciples and spend his free time educating and instructing them so that they continue the work and their service to God. And so we need to remember his dedication when we are deciding how we spend our time. He is our example to follow. He is the perfect embodiment of the living sacrifice that Paul mentions in verse 1 of Romans 12. He is the manifestation of God's glory. He did not conform to this world, but instead he chose to use the Spirit to guide his thoughts. He exercised perfect control over the flesh that each of us struggles so much to contain. And so as we look at the emblems and we see the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, and we meditate on these things and consider his love and dedication to us and to God, how are we going to let that change us? Are we going to partake of his body and his blood and move on with our day? Or are we going to let these precious moments we have here renew our minds and spiritually reset us to take on this coming week? Are we going to allow the words of truth to transform us so that we can strengthen this ecclesial body that we have here today? God has given each of us gifts and abilities, and he's given us our life. And we need to figure out what our gifts and abilities are so that we can cultivate them. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 to 11 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." And so it is our responsibility to use these gifts and to devote our minds and our bodies into the service of our God. And we can do that by serving others. And that needs to be our focus. That idea needs to be the compass to direct us on where we spend our time. Now this message in Romans 12 and in the examples we looked at today show us that the truth is not just a call to attention, but a call to action. Each of us here has answered this call with our decision to be baptized when we committed our lives to his service. Our faith is not complete if we don't have works. The book of James is a great place to study this topic as it breaks things down very nicely. In James chapter 2 and verse 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So if we consider the question again and ask ourselves, are we happy with the time we spend serving God? If the answer is no, then what is our plan to change it? Have you identified your personal gifts of grace? Have you identified your spiritual strengths? And are they being used to their fullest potential? And here are some of the examples of gifts listed in Romans 12. We can minister unto others by learning and attending to each other's needs, fostering and nurturing relationships with others. We can step up to teach and pass on our understanding of Scripture to the next generation. We can give liberally with our time or our financial contributions. We can exhort unto each other and encourage each other on our walk to the kingdom. And we can lead by example, living our life diligently pursuing the truth. And we can be tender-hearted, showing love, mercy, and compassion to others so that each person feels welcomed and included. And we can serve God by serving in the ecclesia with each of these strengths. And this ecclesia we have here and worldwide is our family. Now today many of us are celebrating Mother's Day to show our love and how thankful we are for the hard work that our mothers do. Many of us are putting in that extra thought and our care to make sure our mothers feel appreciated. But taking this example to the ecclesia, how often do we put that level of thought and care to our fellow brothers and sisters? Do we take the extra time to support those in need and to show them our love and appreciation? And it may not seem like it on the surface, especially when we see each other often, but every ecclesia has individuals who take on more work than they can comfortably manage. And this can sometimes cause unnecessary strain on those individuals as they try to give all that they can. But if every one of us here were to step up and to take on more responsibility or contribute to the general operation of things, it would help alleviate pressure and also bring us all that much closer together. And it gives us the chance to labor in love for one another and show our God how thankful we are for this ecclesial body that we are a part of. And so to wrap up our thoughts and to close our time this morning, we're going to take a reading from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 to 10. Galatians 6, starting in verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we all have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.